From JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher, good morning to you.
Yeah, very good morning, Mike.
Adrian Orr's speech, I read it. It seemed interesting. Were you gripped?
I was, Mike, I was. But then, you know, I'm odd, aren't I? I mean, he spoke yesterday to an audience at Victoria University. And before I look at some of the detail, look, the key point, the take home here is as long as inflation stays low and we have less than desirable employment levels, interest rates are going to stay low,
yep,
and they're going to stay very low. They're not going anywhere. So, look, I thought it was a good speech. If you're a monetary policy and interest rate enthusiast, and then it was a very interesting speech. But you're left with no doubt that Adrian Orr and his team, you know, are very determined to get inflation up and get employment sort of rolling again. So they did a bit of a review of what they've done so far. So they talked about the Monetary Policy Committee taking a least regrets policy. So they've eased policy significantly, and they said it's better to risk doing too much too soon than doing too little too late. Ain't that the truth, eh, Mike?
Mm.
So, I mean, the facts are we've seen a significant reduction in New Zealand's interest rate environment. I mean, the government is loving that because they're now issuing bucket loads of debt at very low rates. So if I sort of was to pick the eyes out of the speech, Mike, there's sort of two statements I think that probably that I think we should highlight. The first one, the impact of monetary policy will ultimately depend on whether it inspires people and firms to change their investment and consumption intentions. So that's for all of us, the general population. Do we, if we know that interest rates are lower for longer, do we adjust our behaviour? Do we spend? The second one is that they will head off unnecessary low inflation or deflation and high and persistent employment. They are going to be there. But, Mike, they do have to walk a bit of a careful line between pursuing this strategy, this very low sort of interest rate strategy, and not risking overheating sort of asset markets, so think the housing market.
Exactly.
They acknowledge this, they might. They do, but they say that looking at that may happen. But in the short term, job security, predictable household incomes, that's the most immediate impact on economic well-being. No real reaction in the market. He didn't talk about the currency. Interest rates at the margin were a little bit lower. That's in sort of wholesale land. But, yeah, interesting speech.
Good stuff. Now, the trade stats are interesting as well because these export prices, I like the look of them.
Oh, Mike, the excitement just keeps rolling in if you're passionate about the economy and what's happening. So these are new international trade stats release. And could it get any better, though? As exciting as it's a beautiful aged Chardonnay, Mike. The international trade, we used to get the old goods and services trade by country, overseas trade indexes. This is a new version, came out yesterday. So what do we know? It's a little bit dated, Mike, June quarter, but higher export prices through that quarter for dairy, kiwi fruit, logs, that pushed export prices to the highest levels we've had since the series began. So that means our merchandise terms of trade, what we can buy from an import point of view for our exports, at a new high. That's good news, Mike. Unfortunately, I hate to be the sad guy here, but remember what we spoke about yesterday? Dairy prices have fallen, yep, since June. We talked about that. No real surprises here in terms of spending by overseas visitors, Mike, though, for the June quarter. They got slammed. They fell by 50%. But here's the thing. They didn't stop. And why, you may ask? Well, here's the thing. When lockdown measures kicked in, there was, I don't know, about 250,000 visitors here. The thing is, Mike, they didn't all go home.
Mm.
By August, 100,000 of them are still here. So they were still spending, but obviously at hugely reduced levels. So good news on the export, Mike. The real question is whether that demand continues. And we'll have to wait and see. But generally, we look at those numbers, the hit to second quarter GDP might not be as bad as we had expected.
Well, I hope so, because I was looking at Australia's yesterday at 7%. Mm-hmm. And they beat us in the first quarter. So when our number comes out a couple of days before the old election date, what is it, 17 September, it'll be interesting to see if we're above 7% or below. But anyway, what are the numbers?
What are the numbers? Remember, Mike, it's not a competition.
Ooh, isn't it?
It's not a competition.
Oh, I don't know.
You starting to sound like Mr. Trump. Hey, now.
Is that a compliment?
Not entirely.
I'll
sure.
Take it.
The Dow Jones, 28,933, up 288 points, up 1%. S&P 500, 3564, up 38. And the Nasdaq just tipping over 12,000, 12,010, up 71. So all positive on the American front. FTSE 100, 5940, up 79. The Nikkei 23247, up 110, that's about 0.5%. Shanghai Composite 3404. A more positive day in Australasia yesterday, the ASX 200, 6063, up 110 points, a 1.84% rally. Love that. The NZX 50, 11,902, up 109, bouncing back, 0.93% gain. Kiwi dollar, still strong as an ox, 0.6760 against the US on the wholesale markets. Stronger against the Aussie, 0.9233, 0.5714 euro, 0.5073 pounds, 71.82 yen. Gold a little bit weaker, $1,937.55. Brent crude, $44.36.
And you have a fabulous Thursday. See you tomorrow, jmowealth.co.nz.